So, revision control systems allow us to manage our source code and then to tag a particular version ready for packaging and releasing. In this part of the lecture, then, we are going to look at some of the packaging platforms that are available and then focus on the Debian packaging platform, which is used as part of the coursework in this course. So there are many types of packaging platform and app stores, as they're known, each with different functionality and caveats. For example, on the Linux platforms, you are able to list dependencies. And this is an absolutely key part of being able to create complex software applications which rely on other software applications being installed, and is a great way of being able to make mashups. The Linux packaging platforms also do a great job with managing upgrades and config management between upgrades, and also allow for the easy and consistent install of manual pages, documentation, and examples. Conversely, in Windows and also on platforms such as Android and on Apple's iOS platform, apps are sandboxed, which means that they are confined to their own environment and can't really interact heavily with any other applications outside of this environment. They can require other packages and other information, but the management of this is not clear in most cases. This makes them fine for most things, but they're not brilliant as servers. For example, on Linux, if you wanted to install a web server that supported, say, a particular PHP version, then all you'd have to do is install that PHP version and all of the dependencies for the web server would also be located. Whereas on Windows, you would first have to install, say, the web server, and then you'd have to install the customizations and the language itself. This makes the install process a lot harder for the user, more than a single click, with which it is on Linux. But as I say, each has their benefits and their limitations. So we're going to look in this course at Linux and building a Debian package. And this forms the basis of the first coursework. There is some reference code online, which is a simple library written in PHP, which reads an RSS feed and prints out a few of the items in the RSS feed, or at least their titles. It is expected that students either take this code or their own and use a revision control system to manage this code and also the packaging code. The advantage of using a revision control system is this will give you a changelog, which is an essential part of the packaging on a Debian platform. Students are also expected to use other packaging features where applicable, such as the ability to install man or manual pages, examples, and other documentation which will inevitably help the user to get the full out of your software package. So, how do we build the package? Well, let's have a look at the different platforms first. So on Debian and Ubuntu, packaging uses many config files to build a binary package. So this makes it very modular. There is not one big config file like there is on Red Hat and Fedora, where a specific spec file is used. Rather, there's a series of small files which control different parts of the packaging. Obviously, on iOS, Android, and WinPhone, and some of the other mobile platforms, the integration is less clear, and you have to use specific platform tools in order to compile your package itself. But for the course purposes of this course, we're going to look at the very modular way of building a package specifically for Debian and Ubuntu, and this should give a really good intro on how to do this sort of thing with a revision control repository and for other platforms. There are some commonalities between all of the platforms. For example, they're all very demanding and fussy about requirements. A package has to be well formed and very well put together in order to be accepted into the package management environment or app store. Package managers are fussy for good reason. Once you've got to manage thousands of packages, inconsistencies between these and errors in these will tend to creep and the number will mount up, making it harder to manage the packages and also more likely that those packages will not work properly on the system. Did you know, for example, that the Apple App Store is not the only platform where reviews take place? Debian packages require a sponsor, who is a registered Debian developer. This is the person who takes care of packages on behalf of the non-Debian developer and uploads them onto the archive on their behalf. The sponsor is required to check the quality of the package, that there are no show-stopping bugs in it, and that it's unlikely to harm either the infrastructure, so the platform itself, during build, nor the user's systems when in use. The sponsor is ultimately responsible for what gets uploaded into the archive. The person who develops the application themselves is the maintainer, so it is their reputation as well as the sponsor's which is on the line. This is mirrored well in the Apple environment because a single package could have the effect of revealing private information, and thus Apple could also be seen to be part of that equation and also partly to blame. So, for this reason, they have this review system both on the Linux platform and on the Apple platform. Of course, on the Linux platform, there is a chance for you to become one of the sponsors as a person at that level and thus able to sponsor other people, whereas in the Apple environment this is a very closed off system. So how do we build a package on Debian? The basics of it are that you have to create a directory called Debian which contains a number of files which both define, control and install your package. The file structure contains many files which are required by the package managers, such as control, copyright, changelog, and rules. It is these four files that we will look at here. The first of these is control, perhaps the simplest file. This is the one which defines the name of the package, its type. For example, it could be a web utility, or an office application, or a graphics application. Its priority, as in how urgent it is for it to be installed. Its maintainer, so that would be your name and email address, and crucially, the dependencies, so what it depends on to be built, and what it depends on to run on the user's platform. The second file is the copyright. Often overlooked by software development and in the early stages, you need to consider what the copyright and license of your software is. So, is it GPL2 or LGPL or Apache or any of those various licenses? Additionally, these licenses are already installed on the Linux platform itself, so all you need to do here is simply list the one and all the linking will be done for you into the platform. The third file is the changelog. And of course, this will be the most difficult one to put together if you haven't had a revision control system to look at the changes that have been made. Strictly speaking, however, the changelog should be related to the package management and not the software product itself. However, most people use it to refer to both the software product and the packaging code. Basically, a changelog is better than no changelog, and we don't mind in this course which way you use the changelog, whether it's for the package management code or whether it's for the whole code base itself. Of course, in GitHub, you can't differentiate the two easily, so hence why both paradigms are common, and it's not minded which one you use. The fourth file, then, under the Debian directory, is essentially a makefile called rules. And this defines how to build and install the package from source. It's quite a Debian-specific makefile, but it handles all of the Debian-specific installation. It should not be a replacement of the normal makefile for your package, but it does things like install the man pages, the config files and the examples in a very Debian-specific way. So these four files essentially make up a Debian package. And you can stop there if there isn't very much else to do. There are some other optional files which I anticipate you using, such as DIRs. This file specifies needed directories not created as part of the install, so those which already exist. And if you're building a package underneath a fake root, which you will be, hopefully, for the coursework in labs, then you'll need to list them here as an easy way for the Debian package to make these directories in order to test the install. But of course, when it's installed by the user, these directories won't be created. There are also a series of other useful files which you can use. such as pre-inst and post-inst. These define any actions which need to be carried out by the package before and after its install, such as creating a username, checking system compatibility, enabling actions and setting up a database or restarting various services. These are things that are defined in the kind of pre or post install. For example, if your package was going to run a regular cron job, say every hour, then this would be something set up after the package is installed successfully by post-inst. Likewise, there are also pre-remove and post-remove scripts for what happens when your package is removed, and these should typically reverse the things that were done with the pre-inst and the post-inst scripts. All of these scripts look like a typical makefile, listing sections for what should happen in specific cases, such as configure, install, reconfigure, and other things that can be done with Debian packages. For all of these, I would advise reading the Debian Maintenance Guide manual, which is available online. It's maybe quite a hefty book in terms of its look, but it's quite clear once you start understanding the different sections. Additionally, there are also things called deb helper scripts. These are basically built to help you build a package, and they can also create you templates or boilerplate files, which you can just simply edit. So, to create a simple example, you can create a directory called myapp1.0.0 for a version number, change into this directory, and run dhmake to create you a series of boilerplate scripts, including rules and control and stuff like that, which you can then simply take and fill in the applicable parts. dhmake can also take a source tarball and be a little bit more intelligent about filling in these options for you based upon the things already defined in this tarball. Beyond this, the deb helper script should also be used when installing the package itself, as these are the things which install the man pages, or the documents, or the examples. As an example, in your package directory, the Debian directory, you can simply list the applicable man pages in a file called package name, whatever that might be, .manpages. And then during installation, calling dhinstallman will install these man pages into the applicable place on that platform. The key here is that it doesn't matter about the platform's organisation and directory structure. These scripts will know that how that platform should work and thus install everything in the appropriate place every time, rather than you having to detect it, which is why they're called the helper scripts. The deb helper scripts are called from the rules file, which is our Debian-specific makefile. And this is also where testing commands should be used, like test root and test EIRs, that are used before the package is actually installed to check that the platform is in the correct state. Without these, there is a potential for your package to sort of half install or not be consistent. So the more testing and verification that is put into the makefile, the cleaner the package is likely to be. These tests will throw very fussy but accurate errors and are extremely useful as a result. Once your package is built, you should use the Lintian tool. The Lintian tool dissects a Debian package and tries to find bugs and policy violations and other common errors. It contains automated checks for many aspects of Debian policy. For example, if you actually put the package name as the first item in the description field, it will moan at you, believe it or not. So it checks for these sort of common errors. And if your package is not Lintian clean, then it is very, very unlikely to get sponsored, or indeed get as many coursework marks. So Lintian is a key tool to find out what's wrong with your package, and also suggest possible fixes. So in summary then, while package files may take a while to write, they only need to be written once, and then kept up to date with dependencies and other such information. I would definitely advocate using the deb helper scripts, and especially Lintian, to help yourself build a very, very clean package. And though it may seem like a long process, fulfilling all the requirements at this stage will make you feel much better later when you've to distribute a very clean package. Enjoy the first time your package compiles, but do take time to go through and iron out all the bugs and the warnings that came up using the Lintian tool, and also to fill in completely all the description and various man pages which accompany your package. This will help get a sponsor for your package and for it to be distributed to a much wider audience and wider market.